netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney. You're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. I'm John Montgomery, and I'm joined on the line with a very special appearance by my friend in Sydney, Mike Seymour. Mike, how are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Great. Well, let's talk about the podcast, why we're here today. We had the opportunity to talk with Richard Spohr, who's the managing director at the Pixel Farm, about PF Track.
Yeah, Richard's a great guy. The Pixel Farm's only been going for about 3 years or so. Mm-hmm. And Richard and Michael, who is one of the other co-founders, started actually at, I think it was at Soft Dimash. Anyway, they about 3 years they've been going. They're producing some really, really interesting stuff. And one of the most interesting things to me is, I'm sure you've had this as well, John, producers coming up to you and saying, look, we've got a shot here. We want you to do a 3D track. And you go, yep, okay, no problem. And they go, we want you to track this object that somebody's holding. And you go, well, actually, that's not a 3D track. And they go, well, yeah, that's what we want. We want to replace this thing. You go, well, actually, 3D tracking is tracking the camera. But you know what? It's just as valid. I mean, you know, we laugh, but it is actually a valid thing. Yeah. You want to track the object that somebody's got, or a car, or whatever it is that's in the shot, rather than just the camera that moved that filmed it. And that's one of the things that PF Track gives us. And with 3.5, which is just coming out of beta right now, we've got some good screenshots of it on the website. It's some really interesting software, and Richard was really kind in sitting down with us and working through it. So right now, over to Richard, and I sat down with Richard and asked him first and foremost about how he and Michael had set up the company, when they'd set it up, and some of the background of Pixel Farm.
We started nearly 3 years ago now, and myself and Mike Lancaster both used to be at Soft Dimash, and we both come from a production background prior to being at Soft Dimash, and through various sort of changes of jobs in between Soft Dimash and now, we got back together and decided it'd be great to start producing tools for people like us who are involved in film production. So essentially our focus has always been on the higher end film type tools. We've now started to move into DI and also video workflows as well. So we're sort of trying to trickle down our technologies essentially.
Yeah, I want to talk about your DI stuff because that's some really interesting stuff in restoration and stuff. But let's start with where you started. You're based in London, or in England, I should say.
Yeah, in Windsor, near Windsor Castle. It's very nice.
And where is the customer base? Just give us some of the ideas of where you're being, software's being used.
Worldwide, actually. I mean, we have a very large installation base now in Hollywood. We also have customers in Central Europe, in the UK, South America, Japan. We're pretty much all over the place, I think, and guys down in Australia, too.
So let's talk about the tracking, because I think for me that's front of when I think of you guys, I always think of the tracking stuff. Give me some rundown on where the product's at the moment.
PF Track is now, we're just about to release version 3.5, sort of in the next week or so, and what we've done with that is we've added some more unique features into it. I think one of the things that we've always done with PF Track has been very much ahead of the game in that we try to find unique ways of solving problems. And with the last major release, which was version 3, we introduced the idea of geometry tracking, where you could actually use 3D geometry to track and get camera motion rather than just 2D points.
I actually think that's really interesting because it's probably the biggest misconception about 3D tracking software is that it was in fact tracking objects, when in fact it was just trying to derive the camera, and it wasn't a natural thing to be able to track an object in someone's hand, for example. But you've incorporated that now in the last release.
Yeah, I mean, this all came really about from working with customers in that we had a lot of customers who are having to do very, very complex head replacement, for example, and we worked a lot on things like the Fantastic Four, where they had some very complex head replacement shots to do, and it didn't make sense to do them in the traditional way. So what we did, we designed a system that allowed you to import a generic head, essentially, and place it over the head of the talent, and then use that to track rather than using the traditional 2D point solved into a 3D point cloud.
From my perception of the product, it's really one of the mainstays for a difficult shot. I mean, I don't know if you've found this from customers, but it really is that a place you go where it's a hard shot, it maybe wasn't shot the way it should have been, and therefore there's a lot of power there to actually solve a perhaps less than optimum shot.
Yeah, I think what we initially I guess we made all our money initially out of the shots nobody else could deal with. But what we've tried to address increasingly is making the system usable for every level. And with version 3.5, there is the one button, you press the button and it does the job for you. But what we also wanted to do is allow people to drill down to a very deep level, because you do get those shots that are very hard to deal with. But what we are doing now is addressing things like speed and usability, so that we're actually comparable in terms of speed and ease of use with any other system now.
There's some big speed improvements with 3.5, aren't there?
There are, yeah. We've totally rewritten the camera solver. In fact, we've got another unique feature, which again has come from customer feedback, is the ability to actually do a segmented solve. And what this means is if you have a sequence that's got multiple types of camera motion, which is often the case, you may get a nodal pan or a pan going to some free motion or handheld camera work. What we can actually do within the software now is actually break that shot down into those elements and then solve it in a single pass and then just give you one camera. So you don't have to actually break the shot up now and do a couple of solves, then match it in 3D.
Yeah, I think that's a really big improvement. Tell me, what are the range of products for people that aren't familiar with them? Because it's more than just in the tracking now.
Okay, we've now got a whole range from the very low-end PF Ho, which is really designed as a home user type of application, which really is a, press four buttons and you get something out of it, which strangely enough is being used in production. We've also released an embedded 3D tracker for Shake 4, and we've just actually announced a 3D tracker for Digital Fusion 5, and then going up to PF Track, which is obviously the high-end application.
The underlying technology, is there anything that you can illuminate as to why you're better placed with the algorithms for solving those hard ones at the high end?
I think it's because we started from scratch. What we didn't do was go around looking what everybody else was doing and then try to copy it. We actually went out based on our own experience and our research. And actually, our head of research, Dr. Simon Gibson, he wasn't really involved in our industry at all. So when we started working with him and he came to work for the Pixel Farm, we just took him around and showed him what people were doing. And we had a bit of a King's New Clothes thing going on where he was going, well, why do people do that? And you go, well, that's the way they've always done it. And from his perspective, it didn't really make any sense. So it's that classic sort of fresh eyes thing where somebody comes in who's not been involved in it since the year dot and they go, well, given the state of technology, the way people are working doesn't necessarily make sense. And then what we've done is we've tempered that with our production experience and made products that actually work in real environments.
And the 3.5 version, is the pricing remaining the same?
Yeah, it is. We are still, $5,000. I think, pricing is always a bit of an issue, but, as far as we're concerned, the way we work our pricing structures is we price it based on the level of support and the level of development that we do. And I think if you look at the number of releases that we've done of the product in the last 2 years, and also the level of technical support we offer to our customers, which is very, very important. We actually have custom developed code for customers when they've had very specific problems. And I think, you can talk to any one of our customers, and I think the thing that comes back all the time is how good our support is. And that unfortunately, that costs money, and that's why the product costs what it does.
And what about the other end, at the as you describe it, the home user level? What's the price there?
That's sort of $99, and that really is just it's a web purchase and off you go with it. We don't really support that product in terms of offering telephone support or anything, but it's literally you press four buttons and it does the job for you.
So now, coming from that whole discussion, let's switch gears for a second and talk about some of the film restoration stuff. Of course, it's image processing again, but completely different application, completely different part of the market.
Yeah, we're just about to release version 2 of our product called PF Clean, and this has been designed around contemporary scanned material and what people have to do with film scans, which is really, again, coming from our experience of getting rubbishy scans with lots of scratches and dirt and dust on them. Just it's designed around that workflow and it enables people to either fully automatically clean up images or manually do it or anywhere in between.
So let's discuss the algorithms there, spatial and temporal.
Yeah, funnily enough, I was cleaning some emails out the other day and realised it was May last year we decided to do this. And we've sort of taken a lot of people by surprise and they said, well, why are you going into this market? And effectively, all the technology that we have in PF Track for doing things like retiming we can use inside of a cleanup system, but just to different results. So what we're doing is identifying defects within in the pixel information and then using frames before and after to clean those up. Or we're using spatial algorithms that actually take pixels from the surrounding area and then fill in the holes, if you like.
So you're using optical flow for the analysis at the temporal level?
Yeah, we are. We've actually redesigned the motion estimation algorithms, and they're now going back into the tracking software, strangely enough, for our retiming plugins. But what we do is we analyze the clips at the level we need to fix a particular problem. So for something like a scratch, for example, what you need is a spatial fix because you're pulling in pixels from either side. And with dirt and dust, you generally have a temporal fix. So the system's intelligent enough to find out what sort of defect it is and then use the specific algorithm to fix that problem.
So the big thing for this market is the speed of processing, because often they want to run a lot of footage through and clean it up. And even though it's way faster than doing it manually, still I'm being surprised at how aggressively people want this to process. How do you perform in terms of performance?
We designed the system to be fully scalable. So the workflow is all, it's a totally non-destructive workflow. So the way we work is we go through and perform an analysis and then tag each individual point as metadata, which is an image overlay. So that reduces the display processing time, if you like. But in terms of the way the underlying algorithms work is they're all parallelized. So the more processors you have, the faster it goes. And we've done tests now up to 64 processors, and we've got a pretty straight line in terms of, you know, two is faster than one and four is faster than two, sort of thing. So it's pretty good in that respect. And we've also implemented a full batch processing system, which is cross-platform. So, you know, you have 10 machines in your building. You can use all those machines no matter what operating system they are.
And so you're looking at that as a plug-in to the full range of grading options to work alongside everything from Lustre and stuff, or are you looking at it as a standalone market mainly?
Both, actually. What's interesting is we're trying to sell the idea that giving clean plates to post-production is actually a good idea. We're not involved in the grading and back-end side of things, but the way the system's designed to work with the metadata, you can actually do the analysis and not apply the fixes until right at the end. So you can actually do your grading and stuff and then fix it. So I think the way it's generally being used at the moment is as a pre-post-production operation. But also for doing things like wire and rig removal, it will do all that as well. So what's happening is people are working at, you know, increasingly at 4K with a system to produce very, very clean plates. We also have all the grain management tools and things in there as well. And then what they're doing is offering those to post-production. They're then going through the sort of finishing process.
Now, I could be wrong here, but when I think you first launched, there were some ideas for image reconstruction, like basically deriving a kind of understanding of the image, which is needed, of course, for much of the retiming stuff. I mean, I'm fishing here, but what's coming next out of Pixel Farm?
Oh, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. We are still working on that. In fact, one of our big areas of research at the moment is we did develop some tools for doing geometry reconstruction, and we've also developed tools for doing Z-depth extraction on 2D images. And obviously, the logical thing to do is to combine those together so you get automatic geometry reconstruction, which is really hard to crack. But one of the things we're doing, interestingly enough, is we're starting to do some research into how we can start pulling out layers from images, so actually trying to identify the layers within an image and then pull those out and then work on those individually, which for certain restoration applications and also in certain compositing situations, it really makes a lot of sense.
So just in terms of the broad plug-in market, do you guys support the OFX initiative? I know it's out of a rival in one sense. And also, in terms of the equipment manufacturers, how do you find their relationship to people that are producing plugins?
We're primarily not a plugin manufacturer. I mean, we have done plugins both for Shake and Digital Fusion, but they were really to demonstrate the use of our technology. I mean, we always hoped that for something like retiming, for example, we have a lot of people, strangely enough, who use PF Track to generate data for using our retiming plugin in Shake, because it's a very robust system, and again, it will retime shots that other people can't. But we set out hoping that the larger facilities who had internal R&D teams would actually... All our data is open, so you know we said, look, if you want to write your own plugins using our data, that's fine. So we sort of took that stand, and we ended up writing plugins because we wanted to demonstrate the technology. In terms of things like OpenFX, we're sort of keeping an eye on it. at the moment it's a little bit limited in some respects for what some of the things we want to do, but I think as a principle we fully support it in terms of having a single unified plugin architecture that would work in every system. It's ideal because one of the big issues for plugin development is you end up doing, you know, n number of different versions for n different software on n different platforms. And even with we did you know, Digital Fusion, Shake and After Effects, and that's, you know, Digital Fusion's Windows, After Effects is Windows and Mac, Shake's Mac and Linux. You know, you get into that thing and you just end up sort of banging your head against the wall. And you're also very limited by the access that the other manufacturers give you into their applications through their SDKs. So some of them are a lot better than others.
So the you've alluded to some new technology that's coming. I guess, what is the main place for you launching new stuff? Is it around the year? I mean, if somebody's interested in keeping an eye on you guys, where are the best places for them to monitor that?
Well, we always say that we're not going to bother with trade shows and try and force things out at trade shows because, you know, it just puts lots of stress on the development team. But I guess we release stuff when it's finished. And what we do is we'll do, you know, incremental releases of our products when we finish appropriate technology. I think the next big thing for us is going to be IBC, where we're going to be previewing or really launching a new application there. And also we're working on a new version of PFTrack, which is very, very different to the current one. And that, I guess, is going to be around this time next year.
No hints on what the new application is?
It's going to take a very, very big step in a different direction, in that we've realized that we've hit the buffers in terms of the technology that we can cram into that interface and the way it's working and some of the things that people have requested to do with interoperability and to do with the ability to use data from other competing applications and stuff. We have to re-architect the application to do that. And that, you know, it's going to be very different and very, very powerful. And it's going to form the basis of other things we're going to do next year.
Well, maybe we can get back in touch with you around IBC time and pester you again. But thanks for talking to us today.
No, it's been great. Thanks very much.
Well, that was great. I just, again, want to thank Richard for taking the time to talk to us. I say that every week in hopes that people really understand that we appreciate them taking the time, because we know it is difficult to spend time, and sometimes people are hesitant to actually have their voice recorded. But again, we appreciate the time everyone takes when they talk to us.
It's quite nerve-wracking. A lot of people that, you know, we say we want to do a podcast, and they're like, well, you what? You
Hey, it's nerve-wracking to hear my voice. I mean, I hate it, so...
Oh, I so hate my voice. And I sound so crappy next to you. You're like, hi, I'm John Montgomery. I'm like, hi.
It's because I turn up that low end a bit. But anyway.
Speaking of which, though, next week is a big week for us in podcasting at FX Guide.
It is. It's going to be our one-year anniversary. And for that special moment, we're actually going to be covering the huge blockbuster effects movie that just got released.
Yep. Jim Cameron's masterpiece.
It's Aquaman. For those of you out of the loop,
yeah, we're in the entourage. We'll get that next week, and our 100th. It's not 100th. It's our 1 year anniversary. We've done about 24 hours of podcast, but we'll talk about that more next week. It is a good podcast next week, for real. And I'm Mike Seymour, and teasing me as always is John Montgomery, and behind the scenes here is Jeff Huser, and we thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2006 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide LLC.